This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad you're with us here. It is a Tuesday morning with Longshore and McKnight as we kick off hour number two. And we bring in our man Travis Ryer of BamaOnline.com. Travis, a lot of buzz, a lot of talk about a scrimmage on Saturday. Unfortunately, not a lot of people got to see it, but some did. Your thoughts of what maybe you were able to pick up on?
Well, it sounds like the steps that they wanted to take in improving the passing game as a whole, at least in terms of an initial step under Brian Daboll, the new offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, took place during the scrimmage work. So word coming from the scrimmage, we heard from Nick Saban after the scrimmage on Jalen Hurts, apparently with a very efficient afternoon. But maybe most promising was the fact that the two young quarterbacks, the two early enrollees, specifically Tua Tagovailoa and to an extent Mac Jones, provided a pretty good account of themselves as well. So, you know, not just from a standpoint of the continued growth of Jalen Hurts and the passing game in general, but obviously depth a concern. You know, they've been very fortunate under Saban that pretty much haven't had to deal with a crippling injury to a starting quarterback in any of his first 10 seasons at Alabama. So that's been, again, good fortune that they've had there. But, you know, you always want to have as good a depth as you possibly can at that position. It sounds like they got off to a good start from that standpoint also.
Well, you know, Travis, I mean, you know what the tone of the conversation is post-scrimmage. And when it comes down to depth chart, Saban said we have what we call a rep chart, which I thought was interesting. And you know, they're talking, the fans are talking about the running backs. And I know in the scrimmage that there were some guys that were hurt that led a chance on the rep chart for some true freshmen. And, you know, we've been picking up on some of the work being done already by true freshman Najee Harris. Any tone that you're hearing about what he's been able to do so far?
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, he's been what he was built to be. He was a five-star, obviously, coming out of high school in California. And just watching him out there on the practice field and then, you know, the opportunity that both he and Brian Robinson got on Saturday with sort of the injuries and limitations that they have at running back right now. Again, it sounds like a good situation. You know, Najee is 6'2", 225 pounds or so, and very athletic and just an immense talent. And so for them to be able to go ahead and plug him in there with the ones a good bit on Saturday and for him to apparently perform at a high level from the get-go, it lines up with, you know, what I had been hearing, what a lot of us had been hearing coming out of the first half of practices in spring drills. So a situation that, you know, in terms of depth, again, you know, Bo Scarborough, Damian Harris, Josh Jacobs, B.J. Emmons, you know, all those guys before you get to the newcomers. But, you know, Harris may be one of those guys. As productive as the running game was last year, and it was as productive as it's ever been under Nick Saban at Alabama, it was still a by-committee approach. So, you know, the opportunity is there. If a guy like a Harris or someone else can sustain over an extended stretch and stay healthy and productive, you know, it's more likely, I would think, that Alabama gets back to having that 200-plus carry guy at running back than a continuation of what we saw last year.
Yeah, it looks like the running back position is certainly very solid, and a lot of guys will be able to have their opportunities to run the ball. It also looks like the wide receiving core had a good day Saturday as well. I understand Calvin Ridley had some really nice catches, and Robert Foster, Travis, seems to have stepped his game up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think Robert Foster is one of those rare cases in that typically a guy in his situation last season and especially over the second half of last season has to move on to another program to get the kind of fresh start, the fresh slate, clean slate that he needs. Foster kind of managed to pull that off by staying at Alabama because there was turnover at the offensive coordinator spot and at his position. going into his last year, he has that clean slate. And you know, there's no reason why the guy shouldn't be a big factor at wide receiver. He's a former five-star recruit. He has all the ability that we've seen from guys like Ridley, Cooper. He is at that level in terms of skill set. It's just been about, first of all, becoming the all-around player at the position that they can count on a down-to-down basis, but also, of course, staying healthy as well. So, you know, with Calvin Ridley back, and you sort of expect him to be the number one, again, though, Robert Foster has number one attributes at receiver. Cam Sims is a guy who's been around now, going into his fourth year, final year in the program. So, you know, the top three or four, Jerry Jeudy, the early enrollee, T.J. Simmons, the second-year player, showed well on Saturday, apparently. You know, all those things are great as much as anything because they allow you to continue to work with Trayvon Diggs on the other side of the ball at corner.
That's what I was going to ask you about next. I'm glad you brought him up when you did because I know we've asked you about this before, but I still can't figure out what to make out about it because Minka Fitzpatrick, who is the proven commodity more than anybody else, maybe in the SEC in the defensive back spot, he's been left corner and then back at safety the last couple of days. Trayvon Diggs was at left corner today, and Saban had some good things to say about him. To you, Travis, what looks more promising? Fitzpatrick at safety and Diggs at corner, or Fitzpatrick at safety and matching Diggs up in the deep backfield?
You know, I think ideally if Diggs really can handle it at corner with that first team defense, that's the perfect case scenario with him at corner and Minka at safety. And Minka obviously can play anywhere back there. He can be a first team All-American type at corner if that's where you need him. He can do the same at safety. I personally think Minka's long-term future is better served at safety. I see him as a safety in the NFL. Again, though, I think he could play corner and be fine there. But I think he can be elite as a safety. And so, I think that would be the scenario that they would probably prefer. As much as anything, because I think that with Diggs at corner, you're looking at a big-time talent at that position. I think in terms of just, again, skill, physical attributes, there's less of a drop-off from Minka Fitzpatrick to Trayvon Diggs at corner than there is Minka Fitzpatrick at safety and Hootie Jones, if that makes any sense.
That does.
You know, it's an either-or situation. You know, where can you put your best five or six on the field? And I think if Diggs can be that type of player at corner, in terms of just talent and skill set, you know, it gives them perhaps a more talented first five or six with that scenario.
Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com, joining us here this morning. You've always got the nitpickers out there, Travis, and one of the accounts I heard in of all the positive things that were seen on Saturday. One area that I was told that seemed to be a little, in need of some help, and maybe just because it's early, but the offensive line, maybe trying to figure out what guys are actually, going to be there in the fall, but, you know, heard things like pressures and not enough time for the running backs to find a hole or the holes weren't there, things of that nature. You hear them all spring and summer. Is that viable in your eyes? Is the offensive line still a work in progress?
I think it is, specifically on that right side. I think that, you know, the left side will be fine with Jonah Williams and Ross Pierce-Bacher over there, and obviously Bradley Bozeman at center coming back is a really good thing. But it does appear as if, you know, they're still in the discovery stage, I guess you could say, on the right side. Matt Womack at right tackle. Lester Cotton at right guard, although yesterday we saw Chris Owens, a redshirt freshman in there with the ones at right guard. Apparently Lester had a minor health issue, but you know, Owens is a promising young lineman. And so, you know, Saban said after the scrimmage, perhaps Cotton at right tackle is still something they could revisit. He has bounced between tackle and guard in his first couple of years in the program. But Alex Leatherwood, the five-star recruit, the early enrollee, is working at right tackle as well. So absolutely, spring is typically a time where you see a lot of different combinations. I think that'll be limited to the right side, and we'll see. You know, I think Matt Womack can be a solid performer. Now, the problem, and it's an Alabama problem, I guess you could say, is that after last season, when you had two tackles like Cam Robinson and Jonah Williams, the luxury you had a year ago was that you didn't really need to send a lot of additional assistance to either one of those guys in pass protection.
Right.
This time around, you know, it may be something that they have to consider a good bit more, considering that, you know, they are going through a transition on that right side.
That's a good point. I'm writing this stuff down. The visit here with Travis Reier, BamaOnline.com. I'm going to ask you about somebody specifically because I've always sort of been a fan of this guy, at least his potential, an outside linebacker, or wherever they put him. He is pushing 270, I guess, but Anfernee Jennings just has that look. I'm not sure where his ideal position is, but wherever you put him, he will. He looks like he belongs anyway. What do you think about his progress or his opportunity for upward mobility on that defensive side, Travis?
Oh yeah, I think he's very much in the picture at outside linebacker. I think, you know, there are some questions about his ability to get after the quarterback. I just think he does it a different way. He's not, you know, Tim Williams like in terms of his edge rush ability, in terms of get off and speed and dynamic pass rush ability, but he's probably a little more athletic in that area than people give him credit for, and he's certainly very strong. And I think that gives him a chance to be very involved because, you know, first down, you've got to have a guy out there, even in this era of offensive football, who can play the run game with great strength. And that's what he can certainly do. So I expect him to be really involved in the base package. Once they get to nickel and dime, that's where it gets interesting. Terrell Hall, the second-year player, has so much promise and ability to go along with Christian Miller, you know, a guy who's needed a few years to add some bulk and weight. But as far as that Tim Williams-like pass rusher, that's what Christian Miller can be. Terrell Hall has some of that as well. Now, Terrell Hall's probably the compromise or the median guy between Anfernee Jennings and Christian Miller. And I think you still have to sort of consider Rashawn Evans as a possibility when they get into obvious passing situations, at least. You know, you can move him from inside to outside and still know that he's going to give you a lot in the pass rush as well.
Travis Reier, BamaOnline.com. We know it's not a depth chart. Barry mentioned it, a rep chart, I guess, is the best way to get around it. But I guess at one point in time there will be a depth chart. In looking at your crystal ball, how do you think the quarterback depth chart's going to look?
Well, based on Saturday, I would think that, you know, it's Jalen Hurts is the starter, Tua Tagovailoa as the number two guy, and Mac Jones, another true freshman, is the three. There's not a lot of guys to consider right now, that's for sure.
Well, a lot of youth. I mean, that was kind of my point. I mean, a sophomore, two freshmen. Could you see a scenario, Travis, where maybe Mac Jones is maybe moved up to possibly redshirt Tua to maybe have him for 2 years instead of – because if it all plays out, you got to think, you know, Jalen Hurts, I mean, this could be a one-year opportunity for him. And in this day and age of people transferring and wanting to get playing time, I don't know. I just think it's an interesting scenario in the future at that position with these two young quarterbacks, or actually three on campus.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple ways it could play out. I mean, you could try to fly both those guys standby next season and redshirt both of them. I don't think that's the likely scenario. I think you have to sort of go into it, you know, committed to playing one of the two. And I just think Tua may make it really hard at any point to redshirt this guy. Again, they've been fortunate from an injury standpoint under Saban to avoid the situation where they lose their starter for an extended period of time. So perhaps like A.J. McCarron in 2009 when he had actually moved up to the number two spot on the depth chart, but they were still able to redshirt him because they had Star Jackson that they could run out there and mop up time. Maybe they do that with Mac Jones. I think those things are all in play probably at this point. But you know, I think Tua has such ability it's going to be hard at any point to do that. But they do have those options obviously on the table where they could play it out like they did with AJ in 2009, try to go that route, or try to redshirt both of them if possible.
And wrapping up, I guess we and the next scrimmage is Friday before Easter, I believe, before they break.
Correct. Yes.
And then maybe not so much A-Day, I don't know, but in another closed practice situation, do you see maybe Tua? I'm getting tongue tied again. Tua Tagovailoa?
Not even close.
Tagovailoa.
See,
yes.
Nailed it. All right,
yeah.
Tua Lusa.
You know, sometimes I nail it and sometimes I don't. I don't know. It's just I'm getting tough.
You've never nailed it. You've never.
You just telling me I do
once.
To make me feel good? I thought
I'm
that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you see
take
him?
A shot every time Longshore screws it up. That's today's drinking game.
Make sure you're home from work, though.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you think he gets more reps Friday?
Tua?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, they're still in sort of feeling out stage. Mm-hmm. It's not just the players. It's, you're interacting with a new coordinator, too. And so you're repping the coordinator with the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a situation where you limit Jalen's work because he needs it. And not only that, he needs it in conjunction with your new play caller and coordinator, I would think. So I would expect a similar breakdown. Apparently, Tua, he got reps with the ones, too, Saturday. Yeah. So I think they're going to probably stick to a format similar to what they used in the first one. And then, A-Day will be for the fans.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I got more questions, but I'm going to have to wait till next week. They tell me I'm a little late on this break. So before we let you go, Travis, let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you, up-to-the-minute information about spring football and all the other spring sports going on, recruiting as well at BamaOnline.com. How do our listeners become more involved?
Thanks, guys. Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way will get you to us.
Great.
Thank you very much, Travis. As always, we enjoyed the time.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, buddy, thank you. On our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline, Travis Ryer. Ain't nothing like him nowhere. Dreamland Barbecue.